Good to see you all as well. It's so good to be invited by your pastor to come and open God's Word. What privilege I have, you know, not only as a son of God, but as a preacher of God, to come and to share God's Word, what He's placed on my heart, but what you're hungry for. We're hungry for more of Christ. I'm grateful to God for my family. Crystal and my children are able to be with me, and you know, they usually go wherever I go when I'm called to preach somewhere. And so I really appreciate their help and their presence and their understanding. So I am thankful. And our household is full. There's five of them, those kids. And so never a dull moment. And so so grateful. So many things to be filled up to the brim with, right? And God would have no other way that we would be filled up with His Word to overflowing, that we may have something to share with others in our lives, that we may be reminded where we get that overflow from: God Himself. So as we look at this passage from Matthew 11, I want to invite you to open your Bibles to it and hear the reading of God's Word from Matthew 11, verses 27 through 30. If you have it there, read along with me and hear now the Word of God. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Will you pray with me? Holy Father, we thank you that you are a good Father. You see what your people need and you deliver, you rescue. God, you are with us, and we thank you for this portion of your Word, that you will come and bring it to our hearts, that we may be transformed, that we may be people who are living in the light and in the countenance of your Word, your living Word, who is Christ Himself. So come, fill us up, O God, that we may, in this world, live before you, unashamed, and in full vigor and hope and with faithfulness unto you. And so God, be with us now in this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I've been reading a book called Sacred Attachment, Escaping Spiritual Exhaustion and Trusting in Divine Love. Even by the title, you can get a sense of what the book is about. It's about being rested in Christ Himself. In the book, though, the author, Michael Kuzik, he shares a story about this famous preacher. If I say his name, you probably wouldn't know who it is. But he shares his story about this man who has responsibility of one church of God and of a great number of people of God. And so he comes to Michael because Michael is a spiritual advisor. He's a counselor and a pastor. And Michael has years filled with wisdom and his own experience of trusting in God. So this pastor comes to Michael to receive guidance, to receive hope, to receive rest. And as Michael is on the edge of his seat, just waiting for this pastor to share with him what is the burden in his heart. Perhaps it's about some moral failure, perhaps he's killed somebody. He doesn't know, but there's a weight to what this pastor is bringing. And then he says it. He says, you know what? I know a lot about God, but I don't know if I ever experienced God. Now here's a man who has been doing the work of ministry for many years, training many people. And here he says, I don't know if I have ever experienced God. Perhaps that's what the people feel that Jesus is speaking to from this passage. These are people who are in the land who have the very words of God. They meet in the synagogue. God has given them leaders. the Pharisees and other teachers of the law. And here many of them feel harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. They feel like the load that has been given them from the Word of God is just too heavy to carry. These people that Jesus is speaking to are the people who recognize their need for abiding truth, but what they have been given is a bunch of rules and duties, do's and don'ts, even extra Bible verses, if you will, from the Pharisees to live under and to carry out. It's as if the Pharisees have been teaching, if you do these things, you're good with God. God likes you if you do all these commands. And these are the same people that Jesus confronts. They challenge Jesus, and Jesus makes it clear throughout the book of Matthew that their hearts are far from God. Jesus even teaches from the Sermon on the Mount, you have heard it said about God, but I say to you, the very heart and character and purpose for which the scriptures have been written. Jesus goes to the heart of the people, sharing with them what God truly is like, who God truly is, and what is at the center of God's heart for his people, his great compassion for them. And that's what we find here. We find Jesus, who is filled with compassion for the people, that he will make this pronouncement that he is the one who will come to give them the ultimate fulfillment of life. The fulfillment of a God who cares for them, who sees them, the trouble that they experience, who sees that they are burdened down, and who sees them enough to come to them and to give them hope and deliverance. So we have Jesus here who has come to give the people rest and the promise of rest from their weary souls. And so we want to take a look at three things here as Jesus has come to be the fulfillment of what his people need. We want to look at the invitation that Jesus gives them to come. We want to look at the grace that Jesus gives them to depend upon him. And we also want to look at the mercy of Jesus who says, rest. So those three things, come, depend, rest. The first thing that we see, Jesus says, come. And this is the exhortation for them to come to Jesus. So, who is it that gives this exhortation to come? What is Jesus about? What is Jesus like? Who is he? We see this in verse 27. Jesus says it. He said, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him. What is Jesus saying here when he says this? He said, I'm one with the Father. He says, all things have been handed over to me. We don't know at this point in Jesus' life how all things have been handed over to him. He hadn't even gone to the cross yet. But there is something about the revealed Word of God where Jesus says, hey, I am the Messiah who was to come. I am the one that was promised to the people. I am the creator, sustainer of the universe. He is clearly equating himself to God the Father by saying, I'm the one who has been handed all things by the Father. And I love this, that in this passage in verse 27, we see Father three times, we see Son three times. So Matthew is emphasizing that this is about the Father-Son relationship. This is about the Father and the Son coming, the Father sending the Son to reveal himself to his people. And that's what Jesus says. Like, I'm the one who chooses to reveal the Father to those that have been chosen by the Father. So Jesus is the owner, the creator, the ruler, the sustainer of all things. Jesus is the heir of all things. Jesus is sovereign over all. Over our lives, your life and my life. He's sovereign over the troubles that the people feel in their lives. So Jesus is the sustainer of all things. Who is invited to come? You see, is it very important that God will begin verse 7 prefacing that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the one who reveals. Because what Jesus is about to say, he's about to say who he's calling. Like, who is invited to come to Jesus? Verse 28, all who labor and are heavy laden. All who are working so hard to get to God. All who are working so hard to do the things that God requires. They are laboring with all their might, and it's heavy for them. What they're going through in life is such a heavy weight on them. The strivings and the struggles that they see. Jesus sees the weight that they are carrying, perhaps literally with their hands, but the weight of their souls as well, as they work in the world, as they face the problems and the troubles in the world, as they see their frailty in the world, as they worry in the world, as they are filled with shame because of things that they have done, as they are weighed down with their ailments. Jesus came to free them of disease and their ailment. Perhaps they are weighed down even by their very own pride. Maybe they're sick of themselves. For sure, their shortcomings, their failures. These are the people that Jesus has come to. They're laboring. They're heavy laden. They're worn out. And Jesus invites these exhausted people into a relationship with him. He's inviting them to come. The one who can lift their burdens. The one who can give them the true hope in the world. Because this is the promise. What's the promise? I will give you rest. Rest. The source of true refreshment from your work. The source of true refreshment from all that you do is only through Jesus. And the rest that is characterized here is the type of refreshment that is given after you've done something hard. After you labor. So that's the verb that's here. You're going to receive the refreshment from Jesus. You need water? Here it is. You need something to eat? Here it is. You need strength? Here it is. This is what Jesus promises his people in the world that are worn out day by day. That spend all their energy on whatever it may be. He promises that you will have rest. My rest. I want to refresh you. I want you to see that I care for you. I'm here for you. That I will give you the refreshment that you need. Have you ever been so tired and worn out that you can begin to think about how you needed the rest that you needed? You're just there, still perhaps. You know, there's a kid in my house right now who's going through tiredness. You know, they play a lot. They are working hard in school. They're thinking a whole bunch of things through their assignments. And they are so tired at the end of the week. Well, this past week, this kid in my house was so tired and exhausted just from life itself. Played with his friends and just going and going and going, tired. And so last night, this kid went to bed early. He just couldn't help it. He just went to his room and just pulled the blankets over his head. I'm getting him in the way because I got one son and four girls. And just laid down. You know, I remember talking to him, saying, "It's okay, son. I will help you. I will try to be here for you. I would try to give you something that I think would give you sustenance to help you rest better." I don't know if it worked or not. But he felt the assurance that once I lay down, I'd probably be okay. So he went to bed really early. And we need that at times, right? Sometimes we just need to go to bed instead of stand up and pushing through. Sometimes we need to say no to things that we think will give us rest, and it really doesn't. Sometimes we have to say no to that trip with the friend that we promised them, hey, I want to go with you, and we're trying to do our best to keep our commitment. Sometimes it's best to just say, no, I can't do it right now. I'm too worn out. Work has been hectic. Family life has been hectic. And I just need a break. Jesus gives us space to say no to things so that we're saying yes to be refreshed by Him. Because sometimes we need to come to His Word, right? We just need to get away with Jesus for a moment and say, God, watch over me what I can't do. Remind me that my rest comes through You. Refresh me, Lord. Help me to see what I can't see. I'm wrestling here. Revive me, Lord. Maybe that's the prayer that you need to pray today. So Jesus invites us to come. Come to Him, weary and worn people. The second thing here, Jesus invites us to depend upon Him. How? How does He invite us to do that in this text? Well, two things. Two ways here, I believe, that He's calling us to depend on Him. To reframe our life and to renew our mind. And so, verse 28 here, 29, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. What is this yoke that He's talking about that we should take upon us? First, it's His yoke, but He gives this image of a yoke. And this is a device where, you know, it's a wooden beam that they would put two oxen in so that they can share the burden of the workload together on the field. When the plowman comes, they put the yoke on their necks so they can go together wherever they're going to go and share the burden of the workload. And Jesus says for us to take His yoke upon us. And so we need a reframe, if you will. Instead of taking on the yoke of my own devices and thoughts and ideas, I need to take the yoke of Jesus upon me. Instead of taking the yoke of the world upon me and the world devices, I need to reframe and take the yoke of Jesus upon me. Right? And so this is a reframe. And the thing about a yoke at times when somebody wanted to maximize their profit, they would put a muzzle on the oxen as they worked. And that would tire them out even more. Because what happens? They can't eat while they're working. They can't get refreshed from the grass or the grain. And so God made a rule in Deuteronomy. It's reflected in the New Testament. Don't muzzle the ox while he's treading out the grain. Because while the oxen is working, he needs to be refreshed and revived. And so, friends, sometimes we have the yoke of the world on us. Maybe it's our schedule. Maybe it's our duties. We're yoked in there with those things. We're doing the good work we're called to do. And we're yoked in there and we're tired. And we don't take care of ourselves by getting the sustenance that we need. We think, work harder. Keep going. Because sometimes what's bothering us is the anxiety in our hearts. We're so anxious that we just want to keep going. If I get this done, then the anxiety will go away. If I keep worrying about this thing and keep it before me, stay locked in with it, then surely when I'm done, relief will come. But don't you know that we have a Savior who gives us relief in the midst of the journey? In the midst of our hard work, in the midst of moving along in the things that we do, He gives us the sustenance that we need, and He does so when we take His yoke upon us, not our own yoke, because Jesus says here in verse 30 that His yoke is easy. It brings comfort to our souls. Not discomfort. And so if there's any, now working hard is working hard. We get tired. But there's something about what happens inwardly where we get worn out as well. It's like a soul tiredness. And Jesus says His yoke that you take upon Him is easy. is meant to give you relief. It's meant to give you a mindset of being relieved and not a constant angst. It's meant to lead you to the one who says that you can have peace in the midst of the storm. So we have to be locked in with Jesus under this easy yoke, this yoke that brings the comfort that we need in the work that we do, in the relationships that we have, so that Jesus at the end of the day is seen as the one who gives us life. We are locked in with Him, yoked in with Jesus. And the other thing, as we reframe our lives, it's a yoke that is fit for us, and that's the yoke of Jesus. But we also need to renew our minds. And that's why Jesus says, learn from me. In the renewal of the mind, learn from the very Word who will make flesh. Learn His ways and His will for your life. Learn how He goes about in the world in utter dependency and obedience to the Father. Not trusting in ourselves. We need to learn not to trust in ourselves and our thoughts and ideas and our great way of planning. But Jesus is saying, no, come to the Word. Because when you have the Word of God living down in you and you know what it truly means, and then there's a freedom that comes for you in this world. Learn from me. And one of the verses that I love is 1 John 5:3. It says, the commandments of God are not burdensome. I love that. Think about that. Because sometimes we come to God's Word and we do see the duties of Him, the commands of what God gives us to do, and we think, this is too hard. But God says contrary. He said, my commands are not burdensome. They're not meant to weigh you down. What is it, Lord? I mean, am I doing this right? Like, when I'm coming to your Word and you're saying that I should be obedient in this way, it feels like it's unattainable. It's too hard. Like, what is it, Lord? My thinking about God sometimes is that He's a hard taskmaster. My thinking is wrong. God never comes to me in that way. God is the one who is quick to show mercy. He is the compassionate Lord. He is the one who is slow to anger. God teaches me how to be patient like He is patient, desiring that we are saved in Him, desiring that we grow. God is the gardener. He wants me to flourish. These are the things that we learn from His Word. And so when we begin to renew our minds about what God really says about who He is and who we are, then we begin to see truly how much He loves us and for us, not against us. How much God is with us along the way. And Jesus is our model so that we can see one who always went to the Father to pray to Him. The Bible says Jesus would often slip away and pray to God. He longed to be with the Father because the words of the Father to his heart and soul were sweet. That instruction that God gave to him came with the assurance, I will be with you. I will never leave you. You go through the fire, go through the time of testing, I will be with you. You will not be burned when you come through these things that are hard for you. I am with you. He gives himself as the assurance when we learn from his Word about what it truly says about who we are, who he is, and how he is with us. You know, now is a challenging time in our entire area. Many people are facing the layoffs that are happening. And I've talked to a lot of friends and family members, you know. It's for sure, leading up to this time, it was a lot of worry. It was a lot of turmoil of heart. And then the anxiety of just waiting to see if you will receive the memo. You know, to see if you will get cut. That's daunting. Some people have moved into these jobs and they're dream jobs. They pray for these jobs. And to hear that there are the massive layoffs, oh, what does that place people? Some have indeed been just deeply immobilized and worried. It's like, God, what are you up to? Does God see? Does He care? God, what are you up to? And so we also come to one when we are going through such turmoil and such angst of losing the things that we hold precious. God promised restoration, doesn't He? Because He promises that He is the type of Father who's going to meet all of our needs every step of the way. Even the discouragement of being laid off, or maybe knowing a friend who's going through that, we can empathize with that friend. We can be there for them. And even further, we can say, I have you. What I have, I want to share with you. You're going through this, let me be with you to help you find another job. You're facing this discouragement, you're not alone. I want to be the friend who's there for you. Because that is what God does. God sees how He is in sovereign control over all these matters. He sees our frame. He sees our needs. He sees how He's going to provide them as well. Will we trust Him to be the one who comes and invites us to take the yoke, and we take it and put it upon us? The easy yoke. Will we give Him a chance to receive that comfort that He promises? Will we give Him a chance to, as we sit down in our quiet time, as we come to church, as we pray, will we give Him a chance to renew our minds, to think His thought? It takes faith to do that, right? Will we trust Him as He's renewing our minds, coming over and over again, like we prayed earlier? You know, sometimes it's over and over and over again. But God gives us space to grow. That's the type of Father He is. He gives us freedom. And that's what it says in Galatians 5:1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. We can stand firm because of this and not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So friends, we are to come to Jesus. The invitation to come to Him and all of who He is for us and all of what He does through and in us. And we are to depend wholly on Him. To cast all of our weight upon Jesus. That He is the one who's going to reframe our lives to give us what we need, the comfort. And He's the one who's going to renew our minds so that our minds are like God and we're loving God with our minds. And He is the one who has promised to give us rest. So we come back to this, the second word for rest here in verse 29. He says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So what is this experience of the rest that Jesus is referring to here? This is the noun, not the verb. This is a rest that He promises to give us once and for all. And this is what the people were longing for. A true Savior who will give them salvation. Save them to the uttermost. That their souls will be secure in a relationship with God. That they don't have to wonder anymore if God likes them, loves them. They wouldn't have to wonder anymore if they were true sons and daughters of God. Jesus says, you will find rest for your souls. Because this is who Jesus is as well. He is gentle and lowly in heart. What does this mean that He is gentle? But that He is humble. He's meek. Jesus is humble in this way. He does not put Himself in a place of self-importance. But instead, He prioritizes other people. He gives Himself to us. He gave Himself to us on the cross. This is the gentleness of Jesus. He's lowly. Another word that can be, mean meek or humble. But it's the disposition, it's our outward disposition, lowly of heart. You know, not displaying that it's all about me. Look at me. No, it's lowly. Recognizing that I'm coming here to serve in the name of Jesus. So here's the one, the gentle and lowly Savior, the compassionate and merciful Savior, the Savior who doesn't count our sins against us, but dies on the cross for our sin. This is the gentle and lowly heart of Jesus. His disposition always and forever before us. And so thanks be to God that Jesus sees that we do need the rest of refreshment as we live in this world. That's why he promises to be with us. But also we need that once and for all rest that we enter into. That sweet assurance that we belong to God. That we are sons and daughters of God. And he will never take that away. He will never leave us. He will never close his door on us. He will never forsake us. But what is the thing that blocks us from coming to our gentle and lowly Savior? What is the thing that blocks us from having the sweet assurance that we have rest for our souls forever in him? What is that one thing? It's pride. Pride, my friends. Whew. Pride. I thought I knew what it meant to have a prideful heart. I don't. It's so sneaky. Pride is so subtle. There are times when pride looks like humility. Do you know that? Oh my goodness. That pride just slips in there. It helps you with all your excuses for why you do something. You know, I was sitting with a friend the other day, and he was telling me about his journey with pride. And he said to me, you know, the advisory board at my church came to me, and they said, you know, Pastor, we want two things from you. We want you to take a vacation, and we want you to receive a love offering from the congregation. Two things. And I just looked at my friend, and I felt what he felt. Oh, the giving up to allow someone else to serve you. Oh, the giving up of your time away from the church and the duties of the church to take a break. Oh, my story comes to play. You know, the kid who was in a single parent household and who helped his mom carry the weight of the household. I was used to being there for other people. And my friend was as well. But he saw what God was teaching him in that moment. That it was his pride that was blocking him from receiving what God had for him. From the gift of God himself to the people of God. I do the same thing. I can make an excuse. Well, you know, I don't want the people to be burdened by giving extra to me. And, you know, folks are struggling out there. I can make an excuse. I can block their joy from being experienced by my pride. Because I think, oh, I'm to be there for you. Who do I think I am? Jesus? That I can be there for God's people in all the ways that they need? Oh, pride. I'm telling you, pride would justify your wrongdoing. Pride would make an excuse. Any type of excuse so that you will not face the shame that you need to face because of your wrongdoing. You know, we have a thing that we tease each other with in our household, me and my wife. You know, she began to ask me, okay, honey, why didn't you do this? You know, you didn't pay the bill. You say you would do that. Well, you know. And then she began to sing the song Reason by Earth, Wind, and Fire. I don't know if you're familiar with that song. But reason, I'm like, okay, all right, I get it. I'm giving all the reasons. It's pride, right? Sneaking up on me, teaching me to defend myself. But grace doesn't do that. Grace says you can confess your sins and you will receive the mercy of God. Grace depends on God. Grace says the gift that you want to give me, I don't deserve. I receive it as what it is, a gift. Grace brings you to a place where you recognize that you can admit whenever you have done wrong and failed and how much you need God. That's what grace does for us. Grace helps us to be reconciled with the people that we love when we made a mistake and hurt them. Grace offers forgiveness. And we can receive that from each other, that forgiveness within our relationships with each other. Because that's the grace of God. If we want to experience the fruit of the Spirit, it takes humility in the Spirit. Trusting Him and not ourselves. Not making excuses, but being confessional in our way of life. This is the way of the gentleness and the lowliness of heart that Jesus is talking about. The holy self-forgetfulness that He offers us to be servants, even though we're sons and daughters. To not thinking much of ourselves, even at times we may have a right to do that, we think. But no, bringing ourselves to the place where we're experiencing true rest of our souls. And that is the way of humility and not of pride. Eugene Peterson says this in A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. He says, it is difficult to recognize pride as a sin when it is held up on every side as a virtue, urged as profitable, and rewarded as an achievement. What is described in Scripture as the basic sin, the sin of taking things into your own hands, being your own God, grabbing what is there while you can get it, is now described as basic wisdom. And what's that wisdom, he says? Improve yourself by whatever means you're able. Go ahead regardless of the price. Take care of me first. For a limited time, it works. But at the end, the devil has his due. There's damnation. Pride always leads to death. There's no other way about it. It will bring you to a restlessness of your soul that brings you into confusion about who you truly are. That's why Scripture says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The reason why God has to oppose the pride that's in our lives, because that's the very pride that blocks us from having our rest in Him. It's the same pride that blocks us from seeing that we have been fulfilled all in all in Jesus. That everything that we need, He has supplied. And He gives us more and more and more grace. This is the rest that we are to enter with the Lord. This is how He calls us to live in the world. Not in the way of worry, but in the way of rest. Because what Jesus has done for us, Jesus looked at that cross, scorning its shame. And Jesus had you and me in mind. Jesus had us in mind because why? Because the Father loved us from eternity past. He chose us in Him to be His people. Once we were not a people, but He has made us His people. And God says, I'm going to give my children the best gifts. I'm going to give them my one and only Son to die for them. And Jesus recognized this. He knew the will of God. because God revealed it to him so. And it was hard for Jesus to move into this night of being separated from the Father. He prayed, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me, this cup of wrath from God. Because Jesus did not want to be separated from the Father. Friends, this is our heart too, is it not? We don't want to be separated from the Father when we have experienced such amazing grace, right? And so Jesus did the hard thing. He went to the cross on your behalf, on my behalf, and also on the behalf of the Father. Jesus suffered the wrath of God so that you and I can be free of our sin. We can be free of our brokenness. We can be free of the accusations of the evil one who will come in and want to distort and to steal and destroy and to render us destitute. And so Jesus died on the cross for our sin so that we can experience the rest and the forgiveness of God. And that can never be taken away from us. So friends, let's walk in that rest. Let's live in that rest as we come to Him day by day by day. As we wholly depend upon Him with all our might. As we rest in Him, we're inviting others around us to rest in the Savior that we know. You know, I don't know what happened with our pastor friend who came and said, I don't know if I ever experienced God. But thanks be to God that he was in front of a man who had experienced the grace of God himself. And he was able to tell this pastor the truth, the gospel truth that he needed to hear. What other truth is there for our souls, friend? What other truth is there that will fill us up to overflowing so that we can share our lives with those around us? I want to invite you to continue to enter into that rest day by day, because that rest has been given to you by Jesus Christ, your gentle and lowly Savior. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for washing over us. Oh God, thank you so much, Lord, for giving us the mind to have a gratitude to you. Keep us in that humble posture so that we will be a people who are in sync with you in all the ways needed. Oh God, thank you for taking up our burdens day by day. The ones that we don't even see, you take them up. And so God, we give you many thanks, but we, God, are reassured today that you're with us. So God, would you bless us through this message over and over again as we come back to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.